Round four running backs. It says here that they will make or break your draft by Adam Azer. Agree or disagree, Dave and Jamie?
Any pick can make or break your draft, so I will disagree.
I actually am contemplating trading my first three picks for three additional round four picks. So that I have four picks in round four based on your said statement.
Plus, you'd probably be able to pick up some like round five, round six picks. You're just going to ignore the first.
No. All I want is round four. I'm going to
trade. You'll trade your first rounder for the first pick in round four, straight up.
Second round pick for a fourth round pick. Third round pick for a fourth round pick.
All right, here's a question. Would you rather have picks, rounds one through seven, or would you rather have seven fourth round picks?
Seven fourth round picks.
Me too.
Really?
Yes.
I disagree. I'd rather have the, you know, at least one or two studs. But the point I was trying to make, thank you for having a discussion about that. The point I was trying to make is that I think that these guys that we're going to talk about, and they are guys like Alfred Morris, Mark Ingram, Frank Gore, Latavius Murray, Jonathan Stewart, Carlos Hyde, Joseph Randall, T.J. Yeldon. I am Yeldon. C.J. Spilla and Todd Gurley. They have a lot of upside. They have a lot of downside. So we're going to sort the pile here, tell you how to approach these guys in, you know, round four-ish of a 12-team standard draft. It's Tuesday, July 7th. I'm Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Jamie Eisberg. Pleased to have you along with us on the Fantasy Football Today podcast. I am losing my voice.
Well, you didn't start the show with the day and the date.
So. Got to change it up.
I'm glad you said round four-ish because I think we should make it clear that in some 10-team leagues, these guys are going to be round five, potentially round six guys. In some 14-team leagues, these could be round three guys.
In some 12-team leagues, they could be round five guys, you know?
A couple of these guys might be guys we'll take in round three.
I'm glad you said ish.
Yeah, I think rounds three to five, we could say.
Could we say maybe like 32nd overall?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
When we get into the danger zone of 32nd to 52nd overall.
I didn't put Gordon in this conversation, but we could. But yeah. I just wanted to limit
Gurley. He should be.
Gurley I did put in there, yeah.
Okay. What about Maurice Jones-Drew?
No MJD.
He still
this year.
Is planning to take himself first overall.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's good.
So we email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, and we have a lot of injury news to get to.
He'll do just about as well this year as he did last year.
A lot of defensive injuries to get to, and then the running backs, and then your emails. But first, email of the day is from Jordan Stepanovich. He says, hello, Longfellow, Emilio, and Murph.
He's from Lakeland, Florida, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll look up his greeting. Is Mike Wallace being underlooked? He has Norv Turner as his offensive coordinator. Adrian Peterson's back. Bridgewater's growing. He can throw the deep ball. Is it crazy to think that Mike Wallace can go back to his 2010 form and have 1,300 yards with 8 to 10 touchdowns?
Yeah, I think that number's too high. But I think if you're looking for... I'll be a little bullish here. 800 yards and 8 touchdowns. I think he can come up with it.
I think that's it's very close to what he did his last year in Pittsburgh, which was 64, 8, 50 and change, and 8 touchdowns. So that's the kind of receiver that he is. He was number 24 receiver that year in standard leagues, and that's probably his upside. You know, the thing for him is, you know, that Jordan left out is Charles Johnson, I think, is going to lead their receiving core in targets, and I think their red zone guy, if healthy, is going to be Kyle Rudolph. And then you factor in what Peterson should be able to do in probably a little bit of a run-heavy scheme. It's going to be hard for Mike Wallace to have a huge season. He could have a good season, just not a huge season.
Here's the best part about it, though, Adam, is that the risk that you'll take to put Mike Wallace on your team, it's going to come with a pick in the back half of your draft. He's going to be one of those wide receivers. There's half your league won't want him because there's this reputation that he, you know, isn't that good and he smells bad and doesn't wear deodorant. And then there's the other half of the league that maybe they'll take him, maybe not. If you target him, you're looking at round 9 or round 10. And I think that he's absolutely worth the risk there. Wouldn't take him in round 7. Probably not even round 8. Maybe in a deeper league, round 8.
You know,
PPR league, round 8.
Jamie, you mentioned, PPR league, he's worse.
Yeah.
Jamie, you mentioned Kyle Rudolph being a red zone target. And I think it's important to note that Dolphins didn't really have a clear red zone target last year with Clay being kind of banged up. And Mike Wallace caught 9 red zone touchdowns last year, 9 of his 10 touchdowns. That was second at the wide receiver position behind Randall Cobb. It's really hard to see him doing that.
I think he's got like 8 touchdowns in 4 of his last 5 seasons.
At least 8 touchdowns, yeah.
Yeah.
But last year was weird because they came in, they all but one came in the red zone. Kind of strange for him.
Yeah, his role kind of changed.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you for that discussion. By the way, Longfellow, Emilio, and Murph is from Mr. Deeds. How do you feel about that movie? I think that's actually a pretty solid Adam Sandler movie.
Yep.
That's a good one.
It's sneaky, sneaky.
It's better than True Detective Season 2, which is awful.
But I'm still going to watch it, though.
Me too.
Yeah.
Injuries.
Have you been watching it, Jamie?
I didn't watch this week's, but yes.
Oh, okay. You still haven't watched it?
No, Adam, I have not.
Okay. Did you DVR it, or are you going to be trying to catch a rerun?
I did DVR it.
Hey, good for you. Jamie was the last guy on Earth to get DVR.
The last person.
Injuries, news, and notes.
Pretty sure my parents don't have it yet.
Then I'm not the last person.
They have it, Dave.
My grandmother definitely does not have it.
She has it. Sean Payton says wide receiver Nick Toon is going to have an expanded role in the Saints offense. He'll be the number 3 wide receiver. Any appeal with Nick Toon?
I think it comes down to Marcus Colston, really, because if Cook stays healthy, he should be their best receiver. Someone will emerge from their tight end group, whether it's hopefully Josh Hill, could be Benjamin Watson. Colston's going to have his role, but you know they need somebody aside from C.J. Spiller. So there's an opportunity here for Nick Toon to step up his performance and his production and you know have a Kenny Stills-type season that he had his rookie year, which was, I think, like 32 catches and around 600 yards. I may be overestimating the yards, but somewhere in the 500 to 600-yard mm-hmm. range, and I think he had 6 touchdowns. So he'll be one of those guys that will probably be more of an annoyance to fantasy owners than a consistent guy on your roster and or your lineup. But look, Drew Brees has to find somebody to throw to, and this guy has an opportunity, and that's all you kind of look for when you're talking about late-round flyers. We had this question last week about guys you can look at with late-round picks at the wide receiver position. He's in that conversation if he has a good preseason and training camp.
Tennessee wide receiver Harry Douglas is like, Marcus Mariota is so accurate, man. He's raving about Marcus Mariota's accuracy per ESPN.com. So that's
mm-hmm.
cool.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Titans schedule, I'm going through everybody's schedule right now, Adam.
Uh-huh.
They've got a very quarterback-friendly schedule. So if Mariota can do anything with this receiving core, there actually might be something there for daily leaguers for sure. Maybe owners that are in 2 quarterback leagues, Mariota might be a guy to stash. He's moved up in my rankings within the last month. And, I read that report. And remember, Harry Douglas never played a down in Tennessee with the filth they had at quarterback before. He's been playing with Matt Ryan for a couple of years. So I think it means something when he talks about Mariota's accuracy. And I've heard that Mariota's been great so far. So that's another thing to watch in training camp. If you're in a standard 10 or 12 team league, maybe he gets picked late. There might be some guy in every draft that recognizes him from the NFL draft and takes him with a late round pick. There is potential with Mariota. I don't think we can scoff at him anymore.
I don't think, though, people are going to draft him for his passing, though. It's his dual threat. That's where he's going to make his fantasy numbers. It's
but he's got to really deliver there every week.
Yeah, but you go back.
And I don't know if he's going to be asked to do that.
You go back to what Russell Wilson was as a rookie, and I wouldn't be surprised if the numbers are comparable, you know, where he can get you 400 yards rushing.
So the Titans are making the playoffs?
No. I didn't say the team. I'm saying Russell Wilson's performance. And I think it's going to come down to, I got to go back and find, I know I mentioned it either last week or the week before, with Kendall Wright, I believe was, in terms of targets, had the worst percentage of catchable passes.
Uncatchable passes. Highest percentage of uncatchable passes.
And if that changes from Mariota's accuracy, and Harry Douglas, you know, is a guy that, you go back 2 years ago when he had over 100 targets when Julio Jones and Roddy White were banged up. That's a guy that can make some plays. And if Green Beckham's healthy, and certainly we've seen what, you know, they have at the tight end position, you're looking at a receiving core that's not necessarily going to be considered among the best by far, but may not be the worst, you know, even though they don't have a headliner. So there's an opportunity here if Mariota can, you know, do some things and make some plays with his legs on top of what his receiving core does for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he does have an opportunity to be a streaming option or as certainly as Dave said, a daily, you know, a daily league option as well.
Which team has the worst receiving unit in the NFL? Cleveland?
Browns.
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on. We got some tight end news. Antonio Gates suspended 4 games for PED use. Gasp. Darius Green was a bust last year, but 17 catches for 376 yards and 3 touchdowns, averaged 22.1 yards per catch in 2013. What's your take on this Antonio Gates situation?
I'm not going to draft him. If he's available when I'm looking maybe as a second tight end, then I'll consider him. But I think you have to, you know, take a look at kind of what he is at this point. You know, he's an aging guy that has already, you know, said he wants to play less. You know, I know he sort of clarified that, but I think the addition of Steve Johnson, what they're going to get from Green, the return of Danny Woodhead. Think about Gates. Last year was great. 2 years ago was horrible, and everybody was writing him off, and that was the year Woodhead had 76 catches and was a red zone target for them. So, you know, it was – I don't think anybody was going to expect a number two finish or a top three finish, again, like he had last year where the touchdown saved him. You got to expect, you know, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 catches, you know, with the suspension now, somewhere in the neighborhood of 700 yards receiving and probably 5 touchdowns. And to me, that's a late round streaming option. I'll take Zach Ertz. I'll take Jordan Cameron. I'll take Jason Witten just because of Dallas and their offense.
But what about Ladarius Green? Does he, cause look, obviously.
No, because you're getting 4 games out of him.
Maybe.
Well, what if he runs away with it?
Well, then.
First of all, I'm not going to bet on that happening because he hasn't run away in the last 2 years.
They're going to go more 3 receiver set. Mike McCoy is very high on Steve Johnson.
Well, does this?
Steve Johnson gives them a much bigger option than what they had last year from Eddie Royal. Royal had 91 targets last year. I think it was 3rd on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at a situation where if Johnson comes in and gets those 90 targets that Royal had plus an additional, let's just say 10 over the course of the 4 games that Gates is missing, you get that guy 100 targets. He's going to be a 50 catch guy, if not more. And so he's going to take away from all this.
Especially if he's in the slot.
And then Woodhead. You know, so Gates to me is, when I first, after the suspension first half, I dropped him down like 17. I'm like, that's just not realistic, you know, to put him behind a lot of the guys that were there. But that's kind of how I feel about him, is I don't want him as a starter. I'd rather, you know, take him as, if there's a second roster spot that I'll use to carry a tight end, that's the type of move I'll make.
Allow me to make a counterpoint. I like him at the 100th overall pick in a fantasy draft, which is, again, later than what I would have taken him pre-suspension. But what's one thing we know about the tight end position, Adam?
It's awful.
It's awful. And Antonio Gates, for whatever he was 2 years ago to what he was last year, not that bad of a fantasy tight end. We are often asked about, well, do I draft players with the idea to trade them down the line? This might be one of 3 players that I would consider doing that with. You can draft them in round 10. Whether you have a tight end beforehand or not is irrelevant, in my opinion. And then right before he comes back, week 3, week 4, you've got a trade ship in your fantasy league where you know tight ends are going to be at a premium. And by the way, if you don't like the tight end that you started your season off with, you've got Gates on your bench. So this isn't like the Josh Gordon deal where you had to wait 10 weeks for Josh Gordon and you couldn't get max value in trade for him really until he came back. I like the idea of drafting Antonio Gates for A, to try and trade him away to a team desperate for a tight end, and it'll help your team before week 5 comes along, or B, for your own sanity as a insurance policy in case you can't hit with tight end early on. So, I don't mind. I think he will play less this year. I think he will be in the red zone plenty, though. I think he's going to be touchdown dependent. I think that's where he's at, and I think he'll get a lot of them.
5 or more.
Over.
I'll take the under. Lunch?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, what kind of meal are we talking here?
It'll probably be something involving tacos on a Tuesday.
Andrew Corliss facing gun charges, Green Bay tight end.
Now, this is not a tight end I would take with the 100th overall pick.
Yeah. Does it
or
make
the
any
500th overall pick.
Any difference?
This opens the door for Richard Rodgers,
That's what
though.
I was going to say, yeah.
Richie Rodgers.
Okay. You know, is anybody drafting Richard Rodgers in 12
teams?
Not
really. Not yet. But okay. A big preseason could put him in toward the end of.
Mike McCarthy's offenses have changed. They don't really incorporate the tight end very much, especially with what they have as their three receivers. When you talk about Jordy and Cobb and Adams, they want those guys on the field as much as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they can still put a tight end on the field with those three receivers.
Can, but
that would take John Kuhn off the field.
You just look at the numbers that they posted. Now, again, you can argue that they haven't had a guy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is since JerMichael.
I mean, even JerMichael, he was very touchdown dependent.
True.
Yeah, nobody's drafted him. Let's move on. Jason Pierre-Paul might miss the start of the season. Hurt his hand in a fireworks accident. And Rolando.
Hashtag dummy.
Well.
Go ahead, Adam.
No, I mean, look, we're from South Florida. This is where it happened. It's so easy to get fireworks there and really dangerous ones too. And it's like, I used to go, have you guys ever been to Neptune? The store?
Nope.
Okay, it's amazing. It's like Toys R Us with just wall-to-wall fireworks. And it's the most fun thing ever. And you go there, you sign some stupid waiver. I don't even know what it says, just to let them off the hook. And then you just go crazy and you buy all these crazy fireworks and you blow up huge things. And it's like, yeah, I know you call people stupid for having fireworks incidents, but it happens all the time. And
yeah, they're stupid.
That's just something that should be left to professionals.
You know what the part of this is? And I get it. People like to do their own fireworks. And you mentioned, Adam, growing up down here, you can't go, 2 miles without some city park or beach or something where they're lighting fireworks off professionally?
But I've done it. I did it every year. Me and my friends. It was probably pretty stupid in retrospect, but we were lucky.
How expensive were they?
For $100, you would get a pack with bottle rockets, little poppers, things like that. And then you would get 4 or 5 huge fireworks that, you know, would go, I don't know, 100 feet up in the air and explode and look like normal fire. Like, you were, really cool with cool fireworks. And then you would get other stuff in the variety box, too. It wasn't that expensive.
I don't think I've ever bought fireworks in my life. And
sparklers.
I'm not passing judgment at all.
Sparklers and the little snap things, but that's about it.
Yeah, there's sparklers
never,
in
I've
there.
Never...
But here's the thing that's stupid, is if he had his contract signed, live your life how you want to. He's in this tenuous period where if anything could potentially happen to him, millions of dollars are flushed down the toilet.
Yeah, that's dumb. But
it's just
but
stupid.
I felt really bad for him. I mean, that's the thing. It's like everybody wants to, people want to rip him and call him an idiot. It's like, okay, well, he had a serious, serious hand injury too. So it was dumb. But at the same time, I feel bad for the guy.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, the bottom line is you want this guy to be healthy because he makes the NFL better. He makes the Giants better. He makes fantasy leagues better that play with IDP leagues.
And for his own life, I mean, you know.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say it wasn't a stupid decision, because it was a stupid decision.
It was careless, obviously. I don't know exactly
what he should
have
done if he's going to spend the report, $50,000 on fireworks? You know what? Find somebody to light them for you. Don't touch the fireworks.
Yeah, well, we don't know exactly what happened, but obviously it was a mistake. Rolando McClain suspended 4 games for PED use. Dallas is a very talented linebacker.
Yeah, a suspect defense gets even more suspect to start the year.
And
by the way, DeMarco Murray, we're going to start him in week 2 in FanDuel. Pencil him in already.
Oh, against the Cowboys.
Assuming he's healthy, assuming he's on the field, playing against Dallas in week 2.
Sheldon Richardson, very good defensive lineman.
We would have been starting him anyway.
No, in FanDuel. Of course you're going to start him in your regular fantasy league.
Okay, sorry guys. Sheldon Richardson, Jets defensive lineman, he's great. He suspended 4 games for violating the substance abuse policy. Green Bay defensive end Dayton Jones is suspended 1 game for substance abuse. And Mike Tice, the Raiders offensive line coach, he's not suspended, but he likes what he's seen from Trent Richardson, which can lead us into our round 4 running backs discussion.
Good.
He said good things about Latavius Murray, and he said good things about the pencil behind his ear and the gum in his mouth and the belly protruding from his stomach.
Okay. Well, he's
good
just
transitioning by you there, host.
Very thank you. So, it's from good transition to bad transition. How do you want to do this here? We're going to talk
about you name a running back.
Okay.
And let's just put these running backs into tiers. We'll do an A tier and a B team tier.
Okay. The A team and the B team.
The A team guys are the guys we would want to take ahead of the B team guys. That's all it means. And then we'll sort them from there.
I'm going to write these down. I'm going to keep track. Alfred Morris, A or B?
A for me.
A.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fit. He's going to be the running downs guy, the goal line guy for Washington. They got Bill Callahan running the run game. I don't think the Redskins are going to be very good this year, but I don't think it'll be because Alfred Morris can't run the football.
You know what? I'm going to skip ahead.
He'll be reliable.
I'm going to skip ahead to an email related to Alfred Morris. It is from, if I could find it here, it's from Clay from Canada. Hey,
nice.
John Chandler and Arthur. Two NFLers and an MMAer.
Oh, the Joneses.
Yeah. Says, excuse me. Yeah, I'm okay. Washington is switching from a zone blocking scheme to a power blocking scheme this year. Will that affect Alfred Morris?
It'll help.
If he can adapt, and I think he can. But he ran zone, obviously, in college and under Kyle Shanahan.
All right, so he's tier A.
He should be able to do it.
It's easier to go that way than to go the
right,
other way.
Right, right.
Mark Ingram. Tier
he's
A or B?
He's an A for me.
Why do you like him so much?
Because I think they're going to be committed to him. I like what he did last year. He's definitely going to be their goal line guy. They're losing their best goal line threat with Jimmy Graham gone. So I think you're going to get more running opportunities for them inside the five. And I think he's healthy. I mean, that's the biggest key is when that guy's been healthy, he's been able to produce at a good clip from a yards per carry standpoint. And so the transition to a more run-based offense, not that they're not going to throw the ball, but he showed last year what he can do, and I think he's going to carry over this year.
I like the improvements they made to the offensive line. I like that he's in that role exactly like you said. Maybe not quite as many touches per game as Alf is going to get, but definitely going to be in there at the goal line.
Oh, but he'll have a better yards per carry than Morris.
What did he have last year? Do you remember?
4.3. But let me bring something about Ingram and his yards per carry. I think you guys would probably remember there may have been an injury on the offensive line, but the last half of the season, his yards per carry is actually pretty bad.
Right. There were definitely injuries, and they've done a nice job. They've sent some guys away. They brought some guys in. Max Unger is going to be the one that you'll recognize the most.
Mm-hmm.
He was at 4.3 last year, which was down for him.
Right.
From 2013. Only one 16 game season. Everything else has been 13 games or fewer. I'm a little worried about that, but I want to put him in the tier A, but he's going to be like the last name in tier A for me. So he's almost fence sitting.
Okay.
Not that I don't love him, and I would gladly take him. He's in this round four mix. He deserves to be.
Yeah, okay. He's going to be, of the guys that we're discussing, he's going to be my favorite guy.
Frank Gore, A or B?
He's, by the way, Ingram's never had more than 226 carries in a season. So he's really, he had 9 touchdowns last year. I think he's going to have to match it in order to be as good this year. Frank Gore?
Mm-hmm.
Love him.
He's an A.
He's absolutely in the A tier. I don't know how much more we have to get into it. But Gore even talked about this during the offseason, how in San Francisco, saw 8 in the box, 9 in the box all the time. They were daring his quarterbacks to throw. And that's never going to happen in Indianapolis. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's the question is whether or not he will survive 16 games. And I think you can try and squeeze one more year out of him.
I think it's just imperative. We touched on this last week. It's going to be finding out who his handcuff is. And whether it's Aaron or Josh Robinson, I mean, it could be Messi. You know, it could be Vic Ballard, and all three guys get work if Gore goes down. But if there is a clear-cut guy, or if there's a guy at least that is in, you know, a front runner coming out of, you know, training camp in the preseason, you must handcuff Frank Gore. Because like Dave said, forget about what Dan Heron was. He's going to be one of those type of guys, or Robinson, or whoever it may be, because of this offense, that just produces. It's going to be messy. It's going to be a bad yards per carry. It's going to be probably one of those situations where it takes 20 carries to get 80 yards on a good situation. But they will run the ball when they're winning at the end because it's still a defensive-minded coach. It's still an offense coordinator that has a run background. And like Dave said, they're not going to be situations where, you know, they're trying to just beat people off the ball because they have to account for that quarterback. And all those catches that go to those guys. And Heron did it last year. We'll see if Robinson can do it if he's in that role.
Gore can definitely do it.
Yeah, Gore in the beginning part of his career was great out of the backfield, and then they handcuffed him. So I just think it's imperative for you, if you invest in Frank Gore, like, you know, Dave said before we went on the air, he's taken round 3. By the time we get to training camp, there could be a lot of people falling in line with that. But round 3, round 4, as a number 2 guy, I will definitely want to make sure I have the Colts backfield locked up as best I can. For now, it's Heron, and we'll just see how it shakes out once the end of preseason.
I would be stunned if it's Heron by the time the preseason finishes, but we will see. And Gore, by the way, is so far my favorite running back that we've talked about.
Latavius Murray. This one is really interesting to me because I've mentioned this a few times. For Murray, 4 carries, 112 yards, and 2 touchdowns on that Thursday night game against Kansas City. And then after that, this is why I passed over him in the most recent draft and took Joseph Randall. He just wasn't really that good, but he did have four catches for 60 receiving yards performance in week 17 at Denver. So he showed that ability, got me a little bit more encouraged about him. I'm totally on the fence about Latavius Murray. Where do you guys put him? Tier A or Tier B?
It's Tier B, but I love the upside because, you know, contrary to what Mike Tice said, I don't think that Trent Richardson is going to take him off the field. Roy Helu is a little bit more concerning just because they're probably going to be trailing in games still, and he's the passing downs guy. But the one thing I like about Murray is he's saying he wants to be more involved as a receiver. You mentioned the game. I think he can be a three-down guy. I think he's going to work at the goal line. We've seen guys during Oakland's bad tenure, you know, McFadden had the 1 year in 2010. In 2011, 2012, Michael Bush had some good numbers. You go back 2 years ago, Rashad Jennings during that stretch, he had good numbers. Jack Del Rio is going to want to lean on their running game to take pressure off of Derek Carr. And I think the addition of Amari Cooper, potentially the addition of Crabtree, you know, they're saying that Clive Walford looks, you know, legit as a receiver.
It's having Derek Carr back there.
Well, if this passing game opens up a little bit, you know, then that's going to allow them to be a little bit more successful running the ball. They're not going to become the Colts where, you know, Murray's not going to see a lot of guys at the line of scrimmage. But I do think there's an opportunity for him to, you know, be one of those. I'll say what Frank Gore has been the last couple of seasons. You know, be around 1,000 yards, be around 6 touchdowns. You know, he'll probably do a little bit more as a receiver, but be in that, you know, 30 catch range. And somebody that, you know, kind of like Alfred Morris last year, too. You know, it's not going to be pretty by the end of the season how he gets his numbers, but will still be serviceable as a number two type running back.
Okay. Next up, Jonathan Stewart, A or B?
B.
It's B, but he's got A-plus potential.
Yeah, let me give some numbers here on Jonathan Stewart. Last 7 games, including the postseason, 5.3 yards per carry on 128 carries. 20 carries or more in 4 of those 7 games. Not in week 17, though, but that was a blowout win at Atlanta, so they obviously didn't need him to do it there. And not in their playoffs loss, 31-17 on the road to Seattle. But in the playoffs against Arizona and at Seattle, I mean, really tough matchups. 24 for 123 yards and a touchdown against Arizona, and 13 carries for 70 yards at Seattle. Just didn't score a lot of touchdowns last year. That was the only thing. But hard to argue with what he did in his last 7 games.
He had an opportunity in those games that I'm not sure he's going to get this year based on the coaching staff and what they want from their running backs. Does it mean that it's right? Yes and no, because you look at Jonathan Stewart's history, and I think it's wise for the coaching staff to try and take care of him. So I think those 20-carry games are going to be very few and far between.
I mean, it could be 20 touches.
I don't even know if it could be that because I don't know how often he might get a couple of catches per game.
Yeah, I think he's going to be
so
around.
I don't know how many 18 carry, 2 catch games he'll have.
I think it's safe to assume that he may not be 17-3 or 18-2 one week and then maybe have, you know, a 20 carry game because he's really rolling. I'm buying into no D'Angelo Williams anymore. I don't think they're going to throw one of these young guys in there, Fozzie Whitaker or Cameron Artis Payne.
Even for just a little bit.
Oh, I think for a little bit, sure.
Right, I think that's what is
yeah, but
hurt Stewart.
I mean, I don't know where our little bit maybe differs here. You're sounding more like it's going to be 5 to 10 touches a game.
Right.
I think it's going to be 3 to 5.
And then Stewart gets the rest?
Yeah, I just think pass protection's huge. And, you know, Tolbert is probably more of a factor than the other two guys just because of his receiving ability. But I just think that this is a team that, you know, has some very capable weapons at quarterback, at one wide receiver spot, definitely at the tight end spot. And I think Jonathan Stewart gives them, based on what we saw, he carried them into the playoffs and he carried them in that game against Arizona. You know, so if their defense is better, which I think it will be than what it was early in the season, their offensive line should be better. And so Stewart with the opportunity in front of him, The reason why I say he's got a potential is it's these factors we're talking about and obviously health, because he's had a hard time staying healthy. But if his workload is around 20 touches a game, he's going to be a top 10 guy. I have no doubt about that. If he plays 14 or more games. And that's what you're buying into if you're buying into him. If you're not buying into him, if you're buying into, you know, prior to last year, the 3 years prior to that, whatever it's been, where he's had trouble staying healthy, the feet have been an issue, the ankles have been a problem, then stay away from him. And I totally get why you would. But for me, I'm buying in this round four range. In the last draft we did, you know, Adam, you said you passed on Murray. I'm assuming you passed on Stewart as well,
yeah,
because this was the guy I was hoping to fall into my lap. I was actually going to take Stewart and Murray. I ended up taking Murray, where I did, but I really love the upside of Jonathan Stewart. I just have a hard time ranking him higher because I know what the red flags are, and I think you just have to take that into account.
There's also the red flag about him losing goal line carries, where Cam can steal him, Tolbert can steal him. And so it's very possible that he finishes with 1,200 yards and 5 touchdowns this year.
Which is a number two running back.
It is a number two running back, but that's not, it's not hitting the potential that you're hoping for. And what I'm hoping for, and that's if he plays a lot.
Sure.
Well, so I'm nervous, but the one thing that I keep going back to is I think their schedule is fantastic for him.
Dave, I don't know what to make of schedules. They always seem surprising to
me. You
gotta
look at the first 4 weeks and then.
Whoever
thought.
That's
fine, but that division, there's only one good defense in that division, and it's Carolina's. Atlanta's might end up being okay.
I'll tell you, that's the other reason why I like Mark Ingram, is that the division's terrible.
Right, sure. Mm-hmm. But he still has 2 games against Carolina. Stewart doesn't have that problem. He takes on the Saints twice, Falcons twice, Bucks twice.
That's a good point.
Other games they play, very favorable. Okay, fine. So Stewart's in the tier B group, but it's same thing with him as there is with Gore. You want to lock up that entire running game if you can.
Sure.
And so, all right, we can keep going. I'll come back to what I was going to say about Stewart versus Morris. Joseph Randle.
We'll say it now. Why would you come back to it?
At this point in the draft, I don't know if I want a guy that I feel is safer or if I want upside. And I hate Alfred. I'm not drafting Alfred Morris. I feel like he has a lot of downside. I just think he's gotten worse every year. And he's maybe safer than some of these guys because he always stays healthy, but that's like all he has going for him. And I never feel comfortable starting him. I say this a lot. Running backs who just have no pass catching ability, they have a lot of bad weeks. I want to avoid that. So that's why I never take Alfred Morris. And I think Matt Jones is a guy who's on my late round list is someone right. I think could beat him out, you know, at some point and just be better than Alfred Morris.
It's totally understandable. I think though, to your point about safety versus upside, in round four, it's going to come down to your first 3 picks. You know, if your first 3 picks are home runs, mm-hmm. you could take a chance on it. Go back to your last draft, you know, where you took Gronkowski, Julio Jones, and Lamar Miller with your first 3 picks. To me, if I'm sitting there in round four, I'm probably taking Alfred Morris with that mm-hmm. team because it's safe.
I understand that.
I think he's a much safer lock for 1,000 rushing yards.
Now, contrary
and like
to that,
6-7 touchdowns.
If you had gone, let's say, I think it was DeMarco Murray, if you had gone with Gronk, Murray, receiver in round 3, maybe I go a different route and take Stewart there because there's more upside with Stewart.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Is it, you know, it always, there's always guys that every fantasy owner just won't draft. And Alf is that guy for me, but I get the appeal. All right, Carlos Hyde, we skipped Carlos Hyde and went right to Joseph Randle. Let's do Carlos Hyde first. A or B?
He's the same to me as Murray, where I think by the end of the year, the numbers will look good, but it's going to be, I think, some interesting weeks because of how that team is structured.
I think I haven't ranked where he's a tier A guy, but I'm nervous about him. I'm nervous about the Niners in general.
I'm putting him in tier B.
Yeah, I almost think he's got to be there.
That's interesting.
I think that's just playing it safe. We've seen very little from him, but like, it's just like with Jonathan Stewart. He's got A-plus potential. Might end up being the every down back for San Francisco.
Nah, not going to play in passing downs.
I think he could.
Well, I mean, so could Stewart, so could Murray, so could Alf, probably in theory. But they brought in Reggie Bush for a reason.
Right, but if Bush gets hurt, what happens?
Well, I mean.
Do they go to Kendall Hunter?
In that
I
role?
I mean, maybe they do.
Who knows?
Okay, so we'll move on to Joseph.
He's a tier B guy. I don't think I haven't ranked this way. I think I've got Ingram behind him, but. Maybe that should not be the case.
Joseph Randle. So he's
tier B.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there's no way you can put him in tier A. He hasn't really done enough yet. But, I mean, does he have as much upside as anyone we've listed so far, Joseph Randle?
Of course. And he's got the best offensive line of anybody that we've talked about so far, too.
Yep. And
then a team that is willing to lean on him, as long as he provides a semblance of a run game.
He did average 6.7 yards per carry for what it's worth.
Yeah, it was really weird how he got it, though.
51 carries, yeah. Well, only 51 carries. Hard to make any judgments about him.
Right, he would have like the random 3-carry, 75-yard, 1-touchdown game.
TJ Yeldon.
He's tier B, but, you know, he's going to have to grind his way to a good season. I think he will. I think they're going to lean on him a lot. I think this offensive line is going to end up being one of the more underrated ones of the season because I think the moves that they made this offseason are going to end up being beneficial. Not that they're going to become the Cowboys, but I think they are going to improve. And so with how much work I mean, they've already said, you're our starter. We're giving you work on three downs. And, you know, this was with clearly not looking at him a lot in their own building, in their own facility. You know, they like what they see and they're excited about it. It's also what they have on the roster. So if he can stay healthy, I think he's going to be, you know, I hate to keep making the same reference, but, you know, the end of the year, when you look at Gore and you look at Morris and you look at these guys, there's some weeks where they got you 8 to 10 points. There's some weeks where they got you 4 to 5. And I just think that's kind of what TJ Yeldon is. So, he's better suited for a round 5 pick than a round 4 pick, but I'll buy into workload. You know, if you're talking about a guy that has a chance for 300 touches, I think he's one of them.
Now, what about Denard Robinson? Is he not figuring in that backfield?
Maybe 6 touches a week.
Okay. CJ Spiller. We have CJ Spiller and Todd Gurley remaining here. Spiller, A or B, might depend on the format.
No.
A for PPR, B for standard.
I don't know if he's even tier
A for
PPR.
We missed also, Justin Forsett should be in this group too.
Okay, I thought he was clearly better than this group, at least in the minds
I think
of
he
the
is.
People.
Well, I would take him out of everybody.
I like Ingram better in standard leagues. I like Forsett better in PPR leagues, but I think he's in this conversation. But okay. Anyway, Spiller to me is a tier A guy in PPR.
All right, well, we'll focus on standard for now.
Yeah, then he's tier B. Can't have two Saints running backs in tier A. They're not going to be that run heavy.
No, but Sproles...
They are, then don't draft Drew Brees.
Sproles did have some pretty good... years, even in two pretty good years, even in standard scoring leagues.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be mentioned. And then finally, Todd Gurley. So he's a bit of a wild card. What's the latest on Todd Gurley?
Well, I believe any day now he's supposed to go back to James Andrews and get checked to see where his, you know, knee is at. It's gonna come down to, you know, it depends when you draft, clearly. But if you're drafting, you know, toward the end of training camp and preseason, you'll know. You know, if he's cleared, if he opens on the PUP list, it's hands off. Mm-hmm. You know, in this discussion, you know, he'd probably fall back to a round 6, round 7 pick. You know, if he's going to miss the first 6 weeks of the season, then Trey Mason probably comes into the conversation here with the thought that, you know, who knows if Gurley has one of those seasons where it just his knee never recovers and they decide they're going to shelve him. If they get off to, you know, a horrible start and they don't want to risk him getting hurt, they may keep him, you know, sidelined for a significant part of the season. So, you know, you'd like to see him cleared. You'd like to see him on the field. I'm taking Yeldon ahead of him. I'm taking all these other guys ahead of him, Randle as well. I don't know if I have him. He's either 24 or 25 in my ranking. So he's on the cusp of a number 3 running back. So he's no way a round 4 guy for me by far.
So what if he was cleared? He participates the first day of training camp. Does he still slot that way, or do you move him up?
If I move him up, it's only going to be slightly. I want to take a hands-off approach to them. I'll, and everybody listening should take this into account. I will take the understanding that I may be wrong on Gurley for this year, but I don't want to draft him. So
really,
if he's there round 5 or later, and if he's healthy and he's there round 5 or later, I'll gamble on him like I did in that one draft.
And I think he would absolutely be worth that gamble.
If he's not cleared, clearly it's hands off. But I'm not taking him before round 5, healthy or not.
For now, he is absolutely in tier B.
Well, something interesting here. Wouldn't be such a bad thing if he's out for the first 6 weeks or so, because here's what Gurley and the Rams are looking at. Their schedule, I think this sets up kind of well for Gurley, because their schedule is this. Seattle at home, Washington, which was really good run defense last year. Pittsburgh at home should be good. for them. At Arizona, at Green Bay, only two running backs ran for over 60 yards at Green Bay last year, and that was probably because they were trailing most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bye. So I see a possibility here for Mason to be the starting running back and do poorly in those first five games. And maybe it's not his fault. Maybe it's just because of the matches, but it reminds me a little bit of Monte Ball last year, where he did poorly. There were some tough matchups, including a game at Seattle in there, and then CJ Anderson kind of ran with it. Of course, Gurley got injured, but Ball got injured. But I'm seeing an opportunity here for Mason to get the gig, to lose it because of poor performance, and Gurley to come in with a little bit more rest and be really good in the second half of your season.
I think you're pinning the nail on the head. Wouldn't surprise me one bit if that's what happens, unless Gurley is healthy for training camp, participates in training camp, and rolls from there.
Just keep in mind, you want to talk about bad receiving corps. This is in the Cleveland conversation.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bad quarterback situation. It's a bad offensive line. And so it's going to take a lot for him. You know, you say Frank Gore saw 8 and 9 guys at the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's going to see 14. You know, so it's going to be really difficult for him, especially he's missed the entire offseason to this point so far. So there's no on-field work. He's going to be limited in training camp, even if he's healthy. He's not going to be get on the field day one, full go, because they're still going to take kid gloves with him. So you just got to understand what you're dealing with. And if there's, you know, a setback at any point once the season starts with that tough schedule, because he's putting a lot of weight on his shoulders, you know, given the draft pick, I don't think it's a bad idea to take him if he's cleared. Just don't take him early. Don't take him before some guys that may have similar potential, if not more, just for this season. Sky's the limit in dynasty drafts, because this kid should be better. They're going to build around him if Jeff Fisher's still the coach. I just think you got to be careful with him his rookie season.
Now, tomorrow on the podcast, we're going to do a draft. We're going to do a mock draft live on the show. We'll see how long we take it.
I'm taking him around, too.
Yeah, could be a two-parter, because we're going to be drafting for like an hour and a half, so might cut that into two shows. We'll see.
Fun.
But let's recap here, round four running backs. We've talked about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of them, and we only have three tier A guys, and they were Alfred Morris, Mark Ingram, and Frank Gore. I think what's really interesting about this group of guys, Gurley's probably not in this discussion, and maybe not Spiller in standard. But I could see them going in just about any order. Somebody can give me a justification for liking Carlos Hyde the best or Joseph Randall the best or whatever. And maybe we'll have a little disagreement, but I'm not going to call him stupid or anything. So who are you? Jamie's obviously jazzed about drafting Mark Ingram. Like, who do you guys really want to get in this group?
Gore. Okay. Gore is my version of Jamie's Mark Ingram.
Okay.
I really like him a lot.
And if you can't have Gore, you would have
Alfred Morris.
And Jamie, if you can't have Ingram,
Gore.
Then Morris.
Gore, then Morris.
But are you excited about it?
No. I mean, I'm really not excited about any of these guys, to be perfectly honest.
You're not?
It's just
not even Ingram?
No, I'm not excited about Ingram. Oh, I mean, I like Ingram the best of this group, but there's a reason why you try and get two running backs early if you can, because this is the group you're dealing with. We've just gone back and forth on pros and cons for all these guys. You know, when you get to the group in front of them, and I'm putting Forsett in this group too, because I think there's still potential for him to be a Rashad Jennings type of guy. You know, one big season and then he, mm-hmm. you know, flames out. But, the thing you have to take into account is there's a reason they're falling to round four. You know, all these guys have 200, 250, maybe more carries. Some of them have the potential to be 40 plus catch guys. They should be, you know, Dave mentioned in a sort of a negative context of Jonathan Stewart, 1,205. You would take that in a lot of these cases. You know,
But how many games am I going to get double digits in fantasy points?
But that's what I'm saying. That's why these guys are round four guys. That's why these are round four guys.
Well,
you know?
let me say this. If you're expecting 1,205 touchdowns, it's probably not really that great of a fantasy season for you.
Right, it's just okay.
Then I think that means you should probably be taking another position, a wide receiver.
That's the point, is like,
or
if
a quarterback.
If you could go running back, running, you know, we're telling people clearly, you know, it's not a bad idea to get away from that. But if you can go running back and get two guys that you really love, you know, and you know, forget about the the negative connotation that a lot of people have about Marshawn Lynch and Arian Foster and you know, those guys and even LeSean McCoy and DeMarco Murray, you know, where these guys are coming into the season. But if you get two guys that you can almost pencil in for 250, for 1500 total yards, for, you know, eight touchdowns, that's the kind of thing that sets up your team. Because in round four, you know, while these running backs have some flaws, you know, you're looking at Jordan Matthews and Brandon Cooks and in some cases, Kelvin Benjamin. And Emmanuel Sanders, I think, will start to slip to round four. DeAndre Hopkins. These guys that have the potential to be stud receivers.
Yep.
Well, they may not be Demaryius or Dez or, you know, Julio or, you know, the potential of those guys. They're safer at their position than these running backs are at their spots. So, you know, maybe when you're in round three and you're saying, okay, I don't love this guy. And I guess, you know, I think by the time we get to training camp, you're going to see Lamar Miller in this round four discussion as well.
Well, it's another guy I didn't consider because I thought he was better, but it's worth bringing up. I mean, so Miller is the guy that I am excited to get. You know, talk about not being excited. I would love to have Lamar Miller in the third round. Hopefully toward the last half of the third round. But I don't really see much of a downside for him.
Well, it could be Ajayi.
Yeah, I mean, look, just because there's another guy there, doesn't mean that both of them can't have a role, but I see Miller having a much bigger role, and he seems like a pretty good player ready to take the next step.
Hopefully. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, thank you. This was a good discussion.
Thank you.
Loved it.
Dave, we're so pleasant to each other.
Great idea on the tiers, Dave. And Dave just wrote about all the defenses, so it's interesting stuff. Check it out. Mm-hmm. Fantasynews.cbsports.com. Now I've got this reputation of making really bad trade offers. Really unfair. And I think it's...
Welcome to the club, man.
I think it's a very unfair reputation that I make unfair trade offers, but I decided that since I was going to trade Duke Johnson for Isaiah Crowell, I might as well see what I could get for Duke Johnson before that. So I offered Heath Duke Johnson for Jimmy Graham. I said, Duke has so much upside and you need running back depth. I offered Tobin and George Duke Johnson for Odell Beckham. I told them they can get more youth on their team, as if Beckham is old. And
how can you justify that trade offer? I wonder how you got this reputation.
This was, you know, with reputation already established.
He said,
like, he's trying to ram it home.
He said after our show last week where you guys agreed to the trade that he's just going to see what kind of outlandish things he could do, and I told him to leave our magazine partners out of this so they don't think that he's completely stupid.
Yeah, I had to make sure it was
people
I knew.
Just stick to the people who know you.
To Chris and Peter, I offered...
But you couldn't find a more realistic player to...
No, he was doing his purpose.
Yeah, I wanted to get angry responses so I could read them on the air. That was the goal here. To Chris and Peter, I wrote, Duke Johnson and Andre Williams for CJ Anderson. If you're looking for some running back depth, I'm happy to do a 2-for-1. And Chris wrote back, this is bad, and you are bad for offering it. Scott, I offered Duke Johnson for AJ Green, and I said, why bother with an injury-prone player at the deepest position? Take the young stud running back. It didn't work. And Scott said, nah, I have the running backs I want. And then Will, I offered Duke Johnson for Le'Veon Bell, and I said, need a running back for the first 3 weeks? This feels like a good trade. And he responded with a Shane Vereen for my Rob Gronkowski offer. Which I turned down. So, fun with trade offers. There you go.
Did you guys complete the trade yet?
He hasn't offered it to
me. I did. I offered it about an hour ago, 2 hours ago. All so, right. I just wanted to see if any of my long shots would go through first.
Oh, yeah, because that's going to happen.
There was,
put yourself in their shoes,
Adam.
How
funny would it have been, though, if somebody just replied to you and was like, you know, after the draft, I didn't really feel comfortable about Le'Veon Bell. Why don't you give me Duke Johnson and Lamar Miller and we'll make the deal? Would you have done that?
Duke and Lamar for Le'Veon? Yeah, I would have done that. In a second. Yeah, that would have been funny if it actually worked.
Somebody countered with something realistic.
Yeah.
Can I say thank you to somebody real quick?
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, go
for it.
That
was my fault.
We're saying thank you to everybody today.
I want to thank Charles Gilbert. He made a very generous donation to my mom's room with the toy drive, and I appreciate that. And I, again, appreciate everybody who has donated throughout the course of the last couple months. So thank you. Thank you so much.
We're like Alanis Morissette with all these thank yous. Yeah, right?
Any emails today?
Yes, actually, we got one awesome email. Well, we have a lot that we're going to read, but We got one from Bradley Ayer. And I don't know, did you guys have a chance to see this? He put a whole bunch of clips in there. He's from Jacksonville, Texas, the hometown of NFL legend Josh and Luke McCown.
Cool.
My 16-team League of Champions has something to prove, and we want to be labeled the official league of the CBS Fantasy Football Podcast. We've used CBS for nearly 10 years. And then he says, let's make our case. And so they have like these, he put these links in the email with these very well-produced videos. His league was featured on NFL Network as, oh, and Dave, you answered one of their tweets with, you predicted their champion. They put that in the email.
Nice. Yeah,
they're on NFL Network, and NFL Fantasy Live for their fantasy draft machine. What they did was they had like a leaf blower blowing ping pong balls into an empty water cooler. So it looked like the NBA lottery, and that is how they determine their draft order. But anyway, these guys are so hardcore, and they're awesome. And, I thought I'd give them a shout out. I can't make them the official league of the podcast. But that is kind of a cool idea. Maybe we could do something to award that. We'll think about it. Now, on to actual questions.
Hey, can I piss you off for a second?
This is about Christmas.
How many times have I heard that?
Yes, you can.
Yes? You sure?
Oh gosh.
You should see his face.
This sounds really bad.
No, it's not bad, but you're gonna be annoyed by it.
Alright, what?
Should we start to plug the podcast league yet?
Oh, no. It's only July. No. We'll do a podcast league. I'm sure I'll do horribly in it, and, I'll hate it, but we'll-
Speaking of bad trade offers.
Right.
Why? I don't make bad trade offers in that, do I?
You just said you have a history of it.
I don't have a history of it. It's ridiculous. This is Heath's fault. Start from the baseball podcast. Heath makes it out like I have a history of making bad trade
offers. Yeah, but then you just made six terrible
trade offers. Yeah, but they were for fun. And one of them was to Heath. So it was-
One of them was to me.
Yeah, I offered you Duke for Demaryius Thomas. So, I don't know why you didn't take that.
I don't know why either.
So high on Duke Johnson. All right, question from Michael. Standard scoring 12-team, two quarterback keeper league. Auction draft with a $300 budget. Two quarterbacks. He's keeping Antonio Brown for $30 out of $300. Nice. Now, choose a second one for him. It only keeps two per year. Eli Manning for $24. CJ Anderson for $45 or Carlos Hyde for $13. And he said the average cost of a top 15 running back last year was $66 and a top 12 quarterback was $63. So again, the options are Eli for $24, CJ Anderson for $45, Carlos Hyde for
$13. I'm inclined to say Anderson. But Carlos Hyde at that value is pretty good.
I think it's a no-brainer that it's Hyde. Because of the value.
Yeah.
But then you're just going to have to pony up for some quarterbacks?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Not to mention pony up for another running back, too.
All right.
You'll go into your draft with your number one wide receiver, your number two running back, and you'll still have like $240.
$257.
Thank you, math major. $257 to spend.
Here's an email from Michael from inside the webcam on Adam's laptop. Oh, that is freaking weird.
Man, what has Michael seen?
Wow. You know, I actually heard or read or whatever, I don't even know if it's true, that people can hack into that.
Uh-huh.
So I put a piece of black tape over my camera, so Michael can't see anything.
The worst story that I heard about this, it was on, my wife is on a lot of like, you know, these mother groups on Facebook and stuff. And
we've seen your wife on webcams, Jamie.
Yes. someone posted about, you know, one of these Wi-Fi kid cameras that they heard a voice in the baby's room that somebody hacked into their internal camera system.
Oh my God.
Was talking to their baby. And then the parents came running in the room thinking somebody was in the room. And the guy started yelling, I'm going to kill your kid. And they like ripped the camera off the wall. I mean, like, I so freaked me out.
I thought I had the worst story. That one's worse.
What's your story? And by the way, Jamie,
I can't share it on the air.
Jamie, don't tell your wife I said that. She's very lovely. I like her a lot.
I just texted her.
Okay, Michael's question. He says, Dear Jave, Dadam, and Amy, I'm looking into ways to make the draft matter more in a league that I co-commission. What do you guys think about limiting the number of trades for just the first 2 weeks of the season to one per team? And what do you think about allowing only one-for-one trades for just the first 2 weeks of the season?
First of all, the draft matters no matter what league you're in.
Why would you limit it just for that period of time, though?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not in any leagues where there's trades in the first 2 weeks anyway.
It's rare.
Yeah, like people don't want to trade that soon. Unless there's just like ultimate calamity hitting their team and they've got to trade off a stud for a couple of role players or something like that.
If you're going to make the draft matter more, I think you need to limit free agency. You know, right. Maybe put a limit on transactions.
How about, trades. How about no waiver wire moves the first 2 weeks of the season?
Well, that'd be interesting.
That's where it's at.
Sorry for crapping on your email, Michael, but get the hell out of my laptop. Here's Clay from Canada. Oh, we already read this one. This is about Alf. Good. Then we move on. Maurice from a south suburb of Chicago, Dave.
Flossmore.
Dear Hiro, Baymax, and Tadashi. I feel like that's Big Hero 6. Anybody seen that?
Nope.
I think Baymax is in that. Okay.
Of course, the one person on the podcast that doesn't have kids.
I have a nephew who loves Big Hero 6.
How old is your nephew now? 4?
Almost 4. 4 in October. I do an impression of Baymax that he likes very much.
Let's hear it.
It's, I cannot get sick. I am a robot. That's pretty much what he says. Is Jeremy Hill worth drafting with the 1-2 swing pick if I have to draft his handcuff, Giovanni Bernard, in the 5th round in a 10-team league?
Yes, and you do not have to draft Giovanni Bernard. It would be in your best interest to draft Giovanni Bernard, but sure.
Right. If it was mandatory, if we felt that it was just absolutely necessary to handcuff Jeremy Hill with Gio, then it wouldn't be worth it. Because you don't want to give 2 of your first 5 picks to the same spot. Ideally, like in an auction, that's what you do. You spend the money on Jeremy Hill and then you aim to get Giovanni Bernard and hopefully you only spend buck or two more than what the average rate is for Gio in an auction. But in a fantasy league where you're drafting, it's too pricey.
Unless it makes sense for you. You know, if it's at a point where
you... Or if Gio slips past round 5.
Well, I just think though, if you hit on your first 4 picks, you say, okay, look, I'm gonna, you know, I like the way that the draft is setting up. There's a lot of depth at receiver. I have 2 running backs already. I'll take my chances on this as my third guy just to make sure I lock up this backfield. Sure.
So maybe Hill in round 1, receiver rounds 2-3.
Well, no, he said the swing. So he's taking it.
It's fine. So you get a receiver and Hill in those swing picks.
So you go Hill
and then maybe you just get lucky and you get another stud running back and another stud receiver.
You go Hill, Beckham, Hyde, Benjamin.
Fine. And then in round 5-6 swing, are you looking at Gio plus something else?
Let's just say Gio Crowell.
Okay.
This just in, 2-player trade completed. Adam Azer acquired Demaryius Thomas from Dave Richard. Dave Richard acquired Duke Johnson from Adam Azer.
That's not what I traded.
You must have clicked accept on the wrong one.
I did not.
That would have been
good
great.
Good trade though. For both except Adam wins.
I got Crowell. Sean from Lakewood, Colorado says, Dear Venkman, Ray, Egon, and maybe Winston if Heath is there. No, Heath is our Winston. Good for him. 12-team PPR league. We get to keep 2 players each year, losing the round they were drafted in the previous year. No limit on how many years we can keep them. This is a 2 wide receiver league. So who to keep? Which 2? Andrew Luck in the 5th round? Again, 12-team PPR. Brandon Cooks in the 6th round. Kelvin Benjamin in the 9th round, Mark Ingram in the 11th round.
The standard league, you said?
PPR. No, it's a PPR league.
Oh.
All 4 of these guys are excellent values. And you get to keep them at this value forever.
Well, no, I think you keep losing a round. Oh, no. I don't know. It says,
you lose the round where they were drafted, and there's no limit on how many years you can keep them.
This is an easy one for me.
I think I'm keeping both the receivers.
Not me.
Not you?
No, I was tempted to, but Luck and Benjamin for me.
I'm probably going to go with the receivers.
I had a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Just, gosh, Andrew Luck in round 5.
But it's round 4 next year, you said, right?
No, it's not. It would be round 5 forever.
Oh, wow. And 6 points or passing touchdowns?
Didn't say.
That was assuming that, but I don't know. 4 points, I'll keep the receivers, but...
4 points. Yeah, I may be with you, Adam, if it's round 5 forever.
All right. There you go.
Two, yeah.
By the way, that Baymax impression really sucked. I'll work on it. I'm usually better at it.
You're better at it from a 3-year-old's perspective.
No, I can tell when I nail it. I didn't nail it this time. Guys, thank you for helping me out with round 4.
Hey, it's our pleasure and it's kind of our job.
What number do you pick tomorrow?
7, which is interesting. I usually get late picks. This will be like my first middle pick.
And you, Dave?
No idea.
I'm first.
Oh, how convenient.
Take Le'Veon, just so I don't have to.
I'm not going to take Le'Veon.
No, Lacy or Charles?
That's E. Lacy.
It's Lacy in the standard league.
Okay. So Lacy's going to be off the ball. I was hoping to get Lacy at 7, but now I have to...
You want
to
make a trade? I'll give you my first overall pick for your round 4 pick.
Okay, you could have just...
See, this is where when you were talking about bad trade, you should have made that offer to me.
Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Adam Azer. We'll talk to you next time. See you later.
Later.
Bye.